Nothing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, May 26th, 2015. And as usual, we'd like to thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Jonga Kandemire.
Here are our top stories this evening.
The Zimbabweans United for Democracy Party formed in the diaspora in 2013 and whose leadership include former High Court Judge Justice Benjamin Paradza was launched in the country today.
It is now time for a new brand of politics, the politics of values, sacrifice, and service. For a long time, we have been patient. We have put our faith in other movements, but they too have let us down.
MDCT Renewal Treasurer Elton Mangoma lands in hot soup for allegedly having an extramarital affair with a very young party member.
I've got a message. I have people who are ready to testify that he took my wife out. My wife had friends that Mangoma used to take them out.
The Zimbabweans United for Democracy Party, or ZUNDE, formed in the diaspora in 2013, whose leadership include former High Court Judge Justice Benjamin Paradza, launched its operations in Zimbabwe today, saying it will not participate in any national elections until there are tangible electoral reforms.
Speaking at the launch in the capital, party president Farah Imbira said his deputy Justice Paradza will represent the party in New Zealand, while the party has already structures in Britain, US, Germany, and South Africa. Mbira, who described himself as a former liberation fighter, said, though formed in the diaspora, it is now time to introduce a different brand of politics in Zimbabwe.
It is now time for a new brand of politics, the politics of values, sacrifice, and service. For a long time, we have been patient. We have put our faith in other movements, but they too have let us down. Enough is enough. The torch must now pass to a new generation.
Mbira said ZUNDE will work with like-minded people to democratize the electoral process in Zimbabwe. He said, while most Zimbabweans were fed up with President Robert Mugabe and his ZANU-PF party policies, they are equally frustrated by the opposition, which he described as inept.
People have lost all confidence in the Mugabe regime, but cannot recommit to a token opposition, which has also lost its way. ZUNDE fills the leadership vacuum created by a corrupt government and an ineffective and compromised opposition riddled with ZANU-PF informers and CIO agents.
Harare youth Romeo Muswe said ZUNDE was a part of the future.
This part has got direction, because like recently our future has been stolen, and these past politicians have been like using us as to gain their political grip. So now with them like recognizing the youth, I see the future within ZUNDE.
Political commentator Fortune Gwazi said, while Zimbabweans are free to form political parties, it will be hard for any party, including ZUNDE, to change the electoral playing field in Zimbabwe. He said it will be hard for ZUNDE to achieve change where the opposition movement for democratic change formation led by Morgan Tsvangirai failed to achieve, even as they served in the inclusive government.
For them now to say they would not participate in an election without even a track record of who they are, where they come from, who they represent, yes, it's still their constitutional right, but for them now to aim that high that they will not participate in political processes until there is electoral reform, it's pitching too high at the moment.
ZUNDE joins many other political parties that have been formed since independence but have failed to dislodge ZANU-PF from power. It remains to be seen how ZUNDE will achieve this feat, given that some of its leaders, like Justice Paradza, cannot come back to the country where they are facing alleged corruption charges. Justice Paradza, who fled the country under intense political pressure, did not attend today's launch. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Just before the formation of the renewal team last year, Elton Mangoma who is now the Treasurer General, wrote a letter to MDCT party leader Morgan Tsvangirai asking how Tsvangirai would put a closure to women in his life to ensure that they would not continue to erode his brand. Now, Mangoma is said to be in a fix as he reportedly got hooked up with a party member's wife, identified as Yemurai Marabanyika. The man at the center of Mangoma's woes, I believe Terera, tells Studio 7 that he has evidence that Mangoma had not only committed adultery, but was paying rent for his wife.
So today what happened, when I went with the letter, I gave it to Lati Mayenga Ama. When I was coming out, I saw a white truck with maybe more than 18 people. Then they started attacking me. That truck belongs to Mangoma, AAL 1794. It is his truck. And the people who are in that truck is Padon Mayenga Ama, Fortune. They are aligned to Mangoma. So then, why is he silencing me with violence? Now I don't know what is happening. Because if I'm lying, I think he should give me an opportunity to come with evidence.
What sort of evidence do you have?
I've got messages. I have people who are ready to testify that he took with my wife out. She, my wife had friends that Mangoma used to take them out together, and they are ready to testify. And they have testified to some of the national executive members. I've took them to those girls, and they've testified. And we have recorded voices of those girls testifying in the places and the times that Mangoma stepped with my wife.
That was, I believe, Tevera, a member of the MDC renewal team. Efforts to reach his estranged wife, Yemurai Marabanyika, were unsuccessful because her phone was switched off, so was Mangoma's phone. Police said they have not yet received a report on the issue. We also reached the renewal team organizing secretary Reggie Moyo, who says they have set up a committee to investigate Mangoma, and if found guilty, he would face disciplinary action.
With regards to the Mangoma issue, we were actually disappointed by the events that actually took place. We had been surprised to find this morning the press awash with the pictures and headlines about Mangoma. So before we could do anything, we decided as management committee to set up an ad hoc committee to actually investigate and come out with the true facts of the matter, so that with a view of actually doing justice to it. We do not condone such behavior in our organization. Remember, this is the same type of behavior that made us leave Morgan Tsvangirai. This is the same type of demon that actually made us actually have a rethink in the view of being associated with Richard Morgan Tsvangirai.
We understand there was some violence that broke out during your meeting. Can you tell us more?
Yeah, you are right. It is quite surprising that actually what befell Mr. Mangoma is the very thing that he is actually utilizing.
And that was MDC Renewal Team Organizing Secretary Reggie Moyo. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Harare.
The African Development Bank is currently holding its 50th annual meeting in Cote d'Ivoire capital Abidjan, where seven candidates, including a Zimbabwean, have lined up to take the coveted post of president of the bank. Zimbabwe's Thomas Sakala, who retired from the bank last year, where he held the post of vice president, was also in charge with the African Development Bank's regional programs. VOA's Lenore Modu speaks to Studio 7's Gibbs Dube about the bank's elections to replace outgoing AFDB chief Dr. Ronald Kaberuka of Rwanda.
The candidates are meeting behind closed doors with people and groups that they are really lobbying to get their support from. So you will not see them outside talking to people, but yes, there is campaigning, but it's not visible.
Do you think that there is any front runner for the presidency?
You know, you have some people who, of course, have a soft spot for the only female candidate from Cape Verde because they would like to see a female leadership. But these are personal opinions. It has nothing to do with what is being reported as to who is the front runner. At this point, all the candidates really have equal chances of being elected.
Do you think the Zimbabwean contestant has got any chance of winning this presidency?
Some of the feedback I received with regards to the candidate from Zimbabwe, as you know, he's been at the ADB for a long time as a staff member, and some people are definitely in support of his candidacy. They would like to see him head the bank, given his long experience with the bank.
So now what is going on right now at this meeting? Can you just give us a short brief?
Today there was the official opening ceremony of the meeting with the presence of over five heads of state and government, including the president of Benin, Ellen Johnson Sirleaf of Liberia, and the president of Gabon as well. And there was a very good discussion on the role that government can play in terms of leading African countries in better economic prosperity. And yesterday was the meeting of the board of governors in closed sessions. Tomorrow, the candidate will start meeting the board of governors in terms of one-on-one discussion with regards to their candidacy at the head of the ADB. And Thursday, there will be the election of the new president.
That was VOA's Lino Modu speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Abidjan, Cote d'Ivoire. Economic commentator Joyce Ngwenya of the Liberal Market Solutions says Zimbabwe stands to gain if Sakala lends the post.
Winning is a political issue. Naturally, I know that the southern region is setting up, but you know the southern region is already carrying the African Commission position. So we might have a problem, you know, advancing his case. But like I said, it's politics, and you know, if he does win that, I hope that he's going to accrue some benefits to accrue to Zimbabwe. Just that we have such a bad fiscal name, so you know, I don't know whether or not he's going to be able to solve our problem.
So what exactly can Zimbabwe benefit from this kind of presidency of the African Development Bank?
That's very critical, because remember the tripartite scenario around what we owe the World Bank, IMF, and the ADB. So if there is any debt forgiveness that is necessary, it might mean that we might be negotiating at that high level, at the highest possible level, in which case he is capable to mediate and negotiate on behalf of Zimbabwe.
That was economic commentator Joyce Ngwenya speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Harare.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
eviction of vendors raises political dust in Zimbabwe.
And sacked councillors cry foul over being fired by local government minister Ignatius Chombo.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
Police in Kenya say one officer was killed and several others wounded when suspected Al-Shabaab militants attacked police patrols near the border with Somalia.
The Iraqi government says it has launched an operation to retake the western province of Anbar from Islamic State militants.
And a heat wave in India has left more than 500 people dead, and forecasters expect the punishing conditions to persist in the coming days.
Zimbabwe, after years of an economic collapse, is now faced with a serious problem of hordes of struggling vendors, estimated at 5.7 million, who have invaded every little space in cities and towns to sell their wares. For many, Zimbabwe is now a vendor nation. Government, fearing social unrest, has not moved in to address the growing vending crisis. Vendors also claim to have support from First Lady Grace Mugabe, who says police must not remove them as they are supporting their families. Harare has seen an explosion of unregulated commerce in recent years due to high unemployment, with over 80% of the country's 13 million people unemployed, although official statistics put it at least at 10%. To discuss this issue, Studio 7's Blessing Zulu turned to National Vendors Union Zimbabwe National Director Samuel Wadzai and founding leader of the Confederation of Zimbabwe Retailer, Gift Juao. Wadzai says vendors are trying to live an honest life.
Our response is that we need to be sober and start to engage each other on these issues. I believe that we can always find a solution.
Mr. Juao, you recently called upon the government to protect you from unfair competition posed by influx of inferior imported goods and other issues. Can you clarify?
Yeah, what we are simply saying is that, for example, there are medical products that pose a hazard in terms of their packaging, in terms of how they are being sold on the street. We are also saying that at the end of the day, we need to restructure our industry. And the only way we can do that is by ensuring that we all embrace the concept of buying Zimbabwe and then, because industry currently is operating at well below capacity. And if our retail sector promotes or rather buys from, only Zimbabwean products, then that means we are in a position to kickstart our industry as well. And also, we are saying we don't need a confrontation, but we are opting for dialogue. That's all I can say right now.
Back to you, Mr. Wadzai. This problem of selling your wares in front of retail outlets, how can this be addressed?
Okay, like I've already indicated, I believe that everyone should be involved. We don't need a situation where the government will be appearing as if they are chasing away vendors. We believe every problem can be solved as long as people are determined to engage. Everything will be sorted out without any problem or appearing to be insulting others. So I think it can be done. We have made some proposals to local authorities. We have drafted a plan as a union, which we are prepared to share anytime. In fact, we have already shared the same with some local authorities in Zimbabwe.
Now, Mr. Joao, apart from this influx of what you are calling inferior imported products, what other problems are you facing as retailers?
There are many, for example, high renters that are being charged by the owners of the properties, the numerous licenses required by the municipality, among other issues. We are also talking of the high cost of labor. We are also talking of the need to ensure that at the end of the day, the problem being proposed by open vending does not exacerbate it. So we are just calling for a holistic and problematic approach to the whole issue. That's what we are talking about.
And Mr. Wadzai, there is a concern that the cities are now dirty and vendors must be moved. I think there were also parliamentarians who were saying the same thing. Is this a solution?
It's actually absurd. I don't understand how the whole August House can sit and start to discuss about the forceful removal of vendors.
And lastly, Mr. Joao, do you agree with the proposal by some parliamentarians that vendors must be moved to clean the streets?
Okay, what we need to do first is to identify suitable places, certain designated places, where we can then improve on those places, for example, by way of ablution facilities, by way of clean in the other ancillary services. After that, we can then talk of moving them to these places.
That was National Vendors Union Zimbabwe National Director Samuel Wadzai and founding leader of the Confederation of Zimbabwe Retailers Gift Zhuawu. The two spoke with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Parliament and the Confederation of Zimbabwe Industries say vendors have become a menace and should be removed from the streets, while Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa wants to derive taxes from the informal traders. The Zimbabwe Informal Sectors Organization says a targeted presumptive quarterly tax of about $300 is too painful to bear as they are struggling to survive.
Some MDCT councillors in Gweru, who were suspended by local government minister Ignatius Chombo over allegations of abusing their offices and council property, say they are not surprised of being pushed out of the local authority. One of the suspended councillors, Albert Chirau, claims that ZANU-PF has been vowing to remove them from office in order to reduce the number of MDCT councillors in the city for its political machinations.
To be honest with you, it's so surprising that I have gone through the process of investigation by state and I have been taken to court and my matter was sent back to police for further investigation, and should they find anything, they should proceed by way of summons. Up to now, that's almost 3 months, it's never been back to me, meaning they make a couple of days. And now they are coming back to re-investigate the same matter, which the state has investigated, which clearly pointed to the fact that it's not a matter of these allegations, but a matter of eliminating us from council, especially myself, chairperson of finance of the council, because they wanted to make inroads into serious corruption.
Are you going to challenge this suspension?
I think the matter is being handled by our political leadership at a high level. I'm a very small person in terms of my political structure, and Honorable Monzora has taken over the documents to pursue the matter through relevant channels. So I'm just waiting to hear from what our political leadership at a high level say about this matter.
That was suspended Gweru Ward 11 Councillor Albert Chirawin Gweru with Studio 7. Atwen Brian Dube, representing Chirau, Moses Marecha of Ward 5, and Kenneth Stole of Ward 4, told Studio 7 he is still trying to study the case to see if the law allows the minister to take such a decision. The minister was not available for comment.
Students at Zimbabwe's universities and colleges say they continue facing problems of failing to pay school fees at a time when the government is indicating that it may stop funding these institutions. Students pay hundreds of dollars per semester. The country's student cadetship program was stalled owing to lack of funds. Students say they are likely to suffer more if the government stops funding these institutions of higher learning, as they are likely to increase fees to cater for the wages and other necessities. Reporter Tatenda Gumbo speaks about this issue with recent University of Zimbabwe graduate Agency Gumbo and former Zimbabwe National Students Union UZ chapter president.
The government has also visited upon the student body an increased fee structure, which is generally unaffordable for the people that are asked to pay the fees, which are the parents. Right now, you realize most workers are not being paid in different companies. And also you realize that those that are being paid are even being paid late, or sometimes being paid in inadequate salaries. So this looked at in contrast with the fees that we are being asked to pay in the study is actually a dire situation for the future of most Zimbabwean students.
We understand even the cadetship program, which was assisting students in payment of university and college fees, is also put on hold due to how much they owe universities and colleges.
The cadetship program was a government scheme to try and assist independent of school fees. It was stopped 2 years ago, and this has actually seen a considerable number of students failing to complete their studies. Right now, the plea that the students have is that the government reintroduces the cadetship program or introduce a new program, for example, the loan and grant system.
That was University of Zimbabwe graduate Agency Gumbo and former Zimbabwe National Students Union UZ chapter president.
A In our mailbag tonight, we received these messages from you, our listeners.
My name is Kelvin Mawarire. I live in Harare. I would like to say that I like the Studio 7 news because they are not biased. They tell all the stories as they are. They tell it as it is, without fear or without favor. I also like that program that is called The Connection because it allows us, the youths, to air out our views, to air out everything that we want to say as youth here in Zimbabwe. So I like the Studio 7 news. I also encourage all other youths to participate in The Connection so that they can air out their views about how best can we run our country here in Zimbabwe. I want to greet all my friends at National University of Science and Technology, that is all the banking and investment management students, or the Part 2 students at National University of Science and Technology, and also all the members of Mawarire family. I say, how are you?
My name is Tinashe Sangu. Tinashe Sangu from Mashala. Studio 7 must conscientize people about the voter registration, the importance of voter registration, the importance of voting. The moment you tend to tell people about the importance, people became very aware. They will be very free from intimidation and all other things associated with hooliganism, etc.
Thanks very much. Remember to send your audio messages at this WhatsApp number, 011-001-202-465-0318. That number again, 011-202-465-0318.
Success continues to elude the Zimbabwean teams in international sporting competitions as the Mighty Warriors and Young Warriors struggled at the weekend while the national cricket team also suffered a humiliating defeat in Pakistan. It was a bad weekend for Zimbabwe. Reporter Michael Kariati gives us more details from Harare.
First, it was news that former Kasolaga Premier Soccer League treasurer Joseph Gromonze had passed on. Then, it was the news that the wife of former coach Luke Masomere had also died in Sudan. As if this was not enough, the Mighty Warriors were beaten 2-1 by Zambia's Polopolo Queens in a 2016 Olympic Games qualifier in Lusaka. The game was delayed for about 25 minutes after the Zimbabweans protested that Zambian player Abra Banda was a male in a female environment. Banda was later allowed to play and scored one of the two goals that sank the Mighty Warriors. On the losing end, too, was the Zimbabwe cricket team. The team lost to Pakistan by 2 wickets in their second and final 2020 match and lost the series 2-0. Focus now shifts to the 3-4-D matches which begin tomorrow. At the same time, the Young Warriors were held a 1-0 draw by Swaziland in a 2015 Africa Youth Championship qualifier at Rufaro Stadium. Coach Kalito Pasua was not happy about the non-availability of his star players. Said the Young Warriors need more time in camp if the dream of making the continental football rendezvous was to be a reality.
It's the preparations which counts most. If you say again you are taking the players to their clubs, then you'll give me 3 days to prepare, then I'll be in trouble again.
The second leg against Swaziland is set for this weekend, and Pasua has won this team against under its making minors, saying there are no small teams anymore in African football. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariat.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host of the Youth Connection will be talking with experts and listeners about problems faced by students at colleges and universities.
And now to recap today's top stories.
The Zimbabweans United for Democracy Party, formed in the diaspora in 2013 and whose leadership include former High Court Judge Justice Benjamin Paradza, was launched in the country today.
MDCT renewal team treasurer Elton Mangoma lands in hot soup for allegedly having an extramarital affair with a young party member.
And the African Development Bank prepares to select a new president.
That's our broadcast this evening.
Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Jonga Kandemiri in Washington.
And I'm Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.